Good morning, good morning. It is a cool, crisp, but sunny and beautiful Sunday morning out there. Welcome to all of you. If you're joining us for the first time, if you would please stop by the Visitors Center out there and let us give you a gift and invite you or welcome you officially. If you're joining us online for the first time, if you scan that QR code, let us know that you're out there watching and listening. That encourages our hearts. We like to hear that. And let's see, well, Easter is coming up, believe it or not. So during that week, we have a Good Friday service, 7 o'clock. You can go live or online. It started out during COVID that we went to online, and so a lot of people just do that online, but we do a live portion of it. So it's singing and scripture. That's all it is, singing scripture for the Good Friday service, 7 o'clock. Then there is, on Easter Sunday, a sunrise service with breakfast to follow. And I think we're doing, I'm going to do biscuits and gravy this year. I cook the breakfast, and it doesn't scare me to fix a lot of food. So I think we fed 120 people last year. So whatever, we'll fix breakfast. You can join us if you'd like. So 7:30 for sunrise service, followed by breakfast. Then the regular classes start, regular Sunday school starts at 9:30. 10:45 is the worship service. We're looking forward to that. There'll be gifts for all of the kids that are nursery and whatever, all the way up. I think it goes to the junior church kids. We have gifts for you. So looking forward to having you with us. And then Breakfast with the Stars is Saturday, March the 16th at 8:30 this coming Saturday, if you want to join them. At the Golden, that's the Golden Corral, right? Yep, Golden Corral in Greenwood. You don't have to see anybody, I think. Just show up. I don't know if you have to see anybody or not. Did you see anybody? There's a sign-up sheet. Sign up on the sign-up sheet so they know how many seats to save, all right? And then we have kids coming up with taking a kids' spring trip to the zoo in Louisville. It is a great zoo if you've ever been there. We had a great time the last time we went. So everything is due by today. Payment by Sunday, March the 10th, $15 for ages 12 and up, and $10 for 3 to 11. Anything below that, I think, is free. So make sure that you get signed up today. Hope in Christ Ministry. This is a cancer ministry. It'll be meeting with on next Sunday evening, following the evening service. See Jeanette Murray for details. She is the princess in the tiara. She had a birthday this last. I said she had a birthday this last week. And anyway, so that's who you see for that. All right. And then our missionaries of the week are the Barillas in Cameroon. They would ask that we would continue to pray for renovating of the church. Pray for the furlough that they're taking, which begins in May, and the co-worker who plans to carry on the ministry. Pray that God would grow his church. Their attendance has gone down because a few families have moved out of the area. And pray for salvation for unsaved regular attendees and spiritual growth for church members. And lastly, pray for safety and health, especially as transition to dry season often causes respiratory illness. And they would appreciate your prayers. Let's have the men come. We'll take up the morning offering. And so I forgot to mention, but I'll mention it now so I don't forget. This Wednesday, I believe in both the morning and the evening service, Pastor Andrew and his family will be back in town. So I'm just telling you, some of you will come next Sunday and people will be talking about Pastor Andrew. And you're, oh, I forgot. You know, that's all I don't know what I'll say. I've now told you, so he'll be in town on Wednesday. And I believe the whole family's in town. I think they're on spring break, but Clayton still has to get some orthodonture, and it's all happening here. So anyway, Brother Ed, would you ask God's blessing on the offering and on the Barillas, please?
Lord, this morning we come to you thanking you again for all that you do for us. We do pray for the Barillas, and Lord, that you would bless in their ministry and answer these requests that have been made, and God, just give them a great furlough come May. Lord, for our service this morning, I pray that you just bless Brother Ray as he preaches. And Lord, for this offering, help us to use it to further the gospel. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Anna. We're going to sing this morning about the first line of that song. Does anyone catch it? It says, "My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary." We're going to talk about the Lamb this morning and his blood that he shed. So go ahead and stand with me as we start by singing, "There's Power in the Blood."
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood.
If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. May the Lord sanctify us through his word. Please remain standing.
We're going to continue our singing by singing, I Will Praise Him, praising the Lamb for sinners slain.
When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when he said, Wilt thou be clean? I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away his sin.
Let's pick it up on that second.
Blessed be the name of Jesus, I'm so glad he took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him.
Singing our hymn of the week. And the last time we sang this was in 2017, so I'm guessing a lot of you might not even have been here, and we sang it for 1 week, and before that was 2014. It was our hymn of the month in 2014, and so you may not know this song. I didn't, so I'm learning it, but we'll sing it. I'll sing through the first verse. If you know it, sing with me. You'll also notice it's different on the screen. This was before we learned how to do it correctly, and so this was way back at the beginning of our hymns of the month. And so if you can read it, great. If not, you just listen, all right? But we're going to sing through the first verse and the chorus, and then depending on how I'm feeling, we might sing it again. So here we go. We'll sing the first verse and the chorus of Give Him Glory.
Give glory to creation's God, the source of all that is. With but a word, He made the world, and thus the His greatness shouts from distant stars, His good.
pretty good. Let's do the first verse again. Now that you all know it, we'll sing the first verse again and then sing verses 2 and 3.
Give glory to creation's God, the source of all that is. With but a word he made the world, and thus the world is his. His greatness shall from distant stars, his goodness shines as light. He made all things
was a hymn of the month, but we sing this one more often. We'll sing all four verses of His Robes for Mine.
His robes for mine, a wonderful exchange, clothed in my sin, Christ suffered, He comes reign. Drink in His righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place He died. I cling to Christ. Faultless I stand with Christ.
God was estranged from God. Only time in history that God was separated from God. God the Father turned his back on Christ, and it's that love that we're singing about, right? By such love, the love that God showed to us on Calvary. And because of that, we can have a relationship with him. Something amazing, isn't it? The righteousness that God has been placed on our account. His robes of righteousness have been placed on us. Because of that, we can have a relationship with him. So sing on that last, his robes for mine.
His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He has so wide a person left alone. I have so deep embrace and welcome home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross. Jesus
God and God alone created all these things we call our own. From the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals the truth of all we call unknown. And all the best and worst of men won't change the Master's plan. It's God's and God's alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise. For God and God alone, God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God and God alone. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God and God alone.
Amen. Thank you, Nate. I asked Nate to do that song. He's like, Pastor, this is like the top of my range. You can handle it. I like that song. Psalm 146 is where we're going to be. Psalm 146. As we consider this thing called praise. Back in the back, you'll notice on the table there's some budget copies, and so if you can pick up one of those, look over those, ask Todd Norwalt any questions you want to ask him. I'd ask him ones about the budget specifically, but you can ask him any question you want to ask him, I don't care. But anyway, Psalm 146. This has been a great song service leading us up to this psalm as we consider this God that is worthy of our praise. You ever notice something? Grandparents have no problems talking about their grandkids. And it doesn't matter how bad their grandkids are, they think their grandkids are worthy of praise, right? That's just the way it is. Once we're convinced that someone is worthy of praise, it becomes much easier for us to praise them. Well, Psalm 146 is a song of praise, right? The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The Bible declares, by the way, that whether we like it or not, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We're all going to do this, but we ought to involve ourselves in the praise of God. And so that's what Psalm 146 is about. Let's sing, read the first verse, we'll pray, and we'll jump into this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Father, may today we elevate you, lift you up. May we see you high and honored and glorified. God, may we see ourselves as we truly are, and may we then involve ourselves in this wonderful thing called praise, and we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the first two verses of this psalm. My Bible class is in the process of memorizing it. I'm not going to quote it for you, all right? I'm not quite there yet. We're down to verse 6. I could probably do it, but I'm not going to embarrass myself just in case. It's a great passage, but it starts out, praise ye the Lord, which, by the way, we should all be doing. And if we're in children's church, that follows with hallelujah, hallelujah, right? Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, the idea is this. It's got to go beyond. This isn't just words. Do you understand? This is not an effort from your pastor to get us all hyped up. That's not the idea. The idea is to elevate our God so much that we become so convinced of his greatness and his worthiness to be praised that we have no choice but to involve ourselves in his praise. Well, look at verse 2. I love the way it says it. It says, while I live. How many of you out there are alive? Some of you, I'm beginning to wonder. Here's what the Bible says. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I mean, as long as I'm alive, I am going to praise the Lord. But Pastor John, what if it rains on my special day that I need to be outside? While I live, I will praise. What if, Pastor John, something really bad happens? What if I get cancer? What if a friend dies? What if, you know, what if someone in my family dies? What, while I live, will I praise the Lord? You know what it says? How can I do that? Well, I can't do that as long as my problems are bigger than my God. I can't do that as long as I'm elevating other things greater than God. But when I see God high and remember Isaiah chapter 6 when he saw God high and lifted up and he begins to worship in a whole new way. And that's what this is. When I see God for who he is, that God and God alone is worthy. And when I begin to see that, then it begins to change. So while I live, will I praise the Lord? And then it goes on to say, I will. Here's what it says. Now listen, this is not your pastor. This is God talking. I will do what? Now singing, by the way, I know some of you, please, do us all a favor. All right? I'm just kidding. But seriously, singing is really more of an attitude, you know? If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, you can still sing praises to the Lord. You understand? Because it's an attitude. It is. It is. It is a joyfulness. It is when I can't help but make some sort of joy because there's so much. If he keeps on blessing and blessing, that old song says, right? If he keeps on pouring it on, if his love keeps on getting richer, if he keeps on giving a song, if my cup gets fuller and fuller, if my prayers keep on getting through, if it keeps getting better and better, oh Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, right? I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, he's like, there's just too much. I can't hold it in. I will sing praises unto my God when? While I have any being. And that concept of any being is any understanding. As long as I can comprehend that there's a God on the throne, I'm going to sing praises to him. And there may come a day that I don't comprehend that. Right? I understand that. I've watched it. I've watched it in my own family. Where, you know, age just robs people of things. And I've watched that. But while I have being, as long as I understand who I am and who he is, I am going to involve myself in singing praises to this God of mine. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to give God praise. And it's going to be praise from my soul, not just praise from my lips, not just praise from my hands, but praise from my soul. And by the way, I have absolutely no problems with this in church. Or this in church. I don't. I have problems with this when it's a show. Look at me, look at me, look at me. But I'm going to tell you, there's times, and if you've not had them, you're missing something. When you can't help, but just lift your hands to God. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Then he goes on in verse 3 to kind of remind us of what we do instead. He says in verse 3, put not your trust in princes. For us, that would be what? Presidents. This is an election year, and I think you ought to vote. Let me be the one to tell you. And if you don't vote, you better not let me find out and hear me complain. Let me hear you complaining. If you don't vote, that's between you and God. But if I hear you complaining and I know you didn't vote, you're going to hear it from me. That's just wrong. God's given us a responsibility. Go vote. But having said that, the president is not the answer to our nation. Neither is the governor the answer to our state. Neither is the mayor the answer to our city. Do you understand? But there is a God who's worthy. So he says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man. Now notice, please, that that Son of Man is not a capitalized. This is not a reference to the title of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. This is just talking about men. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no what? No what? Guess what the president's not going to do? There's no help there. There's no help. We have a sin-sick society, and the president cannot usher in revival. We have a sin-sick society. The president cannot bring in salvation. But there is salvation found in one, for there is none other name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved, right? That's Jesus Christ. So we need to be careful. And he says, when we misplace this, when we put people higher than God and we're praising people, and you know, I'm all about grandparents praising your grandkids, but even that, we got to be careful not to put that above our God, right? God is the one worthy. He is worthy. And so put not your trust in princes, nor the Son of Man, because there's no help there. Look at verse 4. It says, his breath goeth forth. And this is what it means to be this human being. His breath goeth forth, and then he returns to his earth, and in that very day, his thoughts perish. Here's the idea. The moment he's dead and gone, so is his influence. There's no help. There's no hope found in those folks. My hope is in the Lord. And when I get that, and I start lifting him up, and I involve myself in worship and praise, and I'm seeing God high and lifted up, now then, have you ever done this or ever seen it happen? Where somebody starts looking up, and then what happens? Everybody else starts looking. What's he looking at? I mean, spiritually speaking, that's the way this is. When you and I turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, all of a sudden the influence that we're having, not even aware that God is using us because we're focused here, other people start looking up. What's going on? What's he doing? This is what God wants to do. We want to make sure that we understand that man's help is not where it's found. Look at verse 5. Happy is that man. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. And that word happy is a great word in the scripture, but it consumes also the word blessed. In fact, it's translated sometimes blessed. Blessed is that man. This is how we find the joy and contentment, the peace and all the things that God promises in the scripture. This is how we find it in our daily lives. This is how we're going to face those problems that we were just talking about and still find God worthy of praise. Because happy is that man who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. Now he begins, and this is where I want to really focus, on why we can elevate God so high. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible to elevate God too high? No. Right? How high we elevate him, he is higher still, right? We can't even comprehend his greatness. It is not possible for us to think too highly of God. That's not possible. But what is possible, if not likely, is that we think too little of our God. Isaiah, great preacher, right? Great prophet. In chapter 5, it's saying, woe to this person, woe to this person. He lists several groups of people that ought to be shaking in their boots because they're going to have to answer to God, they're going to have to answer to God, they're going to have to. And some of them, we would just be amening what he says. He says, woe to those people who call evil good and good evil. Amen. And then all of a sudden, Isaiah chapter 6, the very next chapter, which by the way isn't a chapter right as it's written, just as the next thought comes about, he sees God high and lifted up, sitting on the throne. And his next words are, woe is me, for I am undone. Woe is me. It's not possible for us to see God too highly, but he's going to remind us of some reasons why God is praiseworthy. Take a look at verse 6. Which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is. One of the songs we just sang, I don't remember which one, but it said, you know, he made the earth, and therefore the earth is his, right? That's what the song said. But God made, do we believe that God created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in there is, therein, that therein is? Do we believe that? Do we believe that we have a God who spoke the word, the world into existence? Or have we been drawn away because somehow we'll put science higher than our God? And we no longer think of God in these terms. Our God is praiseworthy. One of those reasons is because he made heaven and earth and all that therein is. And then it goes on to say this, and he keepeth truth forever. And don't just bypass that little phrase. He keepeth truth forever. The idea is that, first of all, God, I'm the Lord, I change not. He's not going to change. but he establishes truth. And the very reason that this is important is because that's the reason that we can do all the things that we do, even through science today. You know why we can fly in an airplane? Because God keeps gravity constant. What if gravity fluctuated? Got up in the air and then God decided to turn off gravity for 45 minutes. How would that make you feel? God keeps truth forever. And it's not, so it's scientific truth, it's spiritual truth, it's every truth that is there is held forever by this great God of ours. That's the God that we have. Take a look at verse 7. Which executed judgment for the, I want you to catch some of these things, for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, looseth the prisoners, openeth the eyes of the blind, raiseth them that are bowed down. Look at the compassion of this God of ours. By the way, if you haven't found yourself in that list yet, maybe you should talk to somebody in your row and let them help you find yourself. This is us. We're the blind. We're the oppressed. We're the down and out. And this great God of ours steps into our lives to do what we cannot do. And he loves those who often the world would pass over, who often the world would set aside. God loves them. This God of ours is praiseworthy because of his great compassion. And the only reason we're here this morning as believers is because we've experienced the compassion of God. Because we are the Apostle Paul, you understand? Maybe not as smart, but we are the Apostle Paul in this aspect, the chiefest of sinners. That's us. That's us. The only reason we're here is because we have a God, a compassionate, loving, caring God who stepped into our lives and we didn't deserve it. You know, sometimes, where was I at yesterday? Oh, yeah, yesterday. We had a breakfast with the guys from our Sunday school class. And so we were just sharing some testimony things, and one of them was talking about how that they had gone to this meeting and, you know, it's people much like what are being described here, and God has stepped into lives, and some of these second and third generation Christians that are sitting there amongst them are almost embarrassed by their testimony because they did not get saved from alcohol and drugs, and you know they were not living immoral lives, and the issue is this: it is not that we need to diminish the work of God here, it is that we need to understand the greatness of our sin. Because every second and third generation Christian sitting here who has never been immoral, who has never taken drugs, who has never taken a drink of alcohol, deserves to go to hell and burn forever like everybody else sitting in this building. It takes the same grace of God to save us. And as we understand who we are, as we like Isaiah and we see God high and lifted up, all of a sudden we begin to see ourselves for who we are. And we're here in this list. But God is worthy of our praise because we have a God that steps in when we don't deserve it, steps in and does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He openeth the eyes of the blind, raiseth them that are bowed down. I mean, just think of all the things that encompasses on all of these things, the oppressed, the prisoners, the hungry. God steps in, steps in, steps in. He loveth the righteous. Verse 9, he preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. This is the God that we're talking about here. This is the God and the God alone who's fit to take the universe's throne. This is the God who is worthy of you and I in the midst of going through difficult things, as long as we are breathing, that we would sing his praise, that we would talk about him, that we would elevate him, that people would watch our lives and try to figure out what it is we're looking at because we're focused on the God of heaven. He goes, at the end of verse 9, says, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Catch this, you know. this is not, hear me, I want to say this carefully. This is not God being mean and cruel. God's desire is that all would come to repentance. That's what the Bible says. And he will do whatever it takes to get the attention of people. And so the wicked say, I don't need God. And God says, let me show you what you do need. You know, I mean, turns their life upside down in an attempt to show them who he is and why they cannot put their trust in princes nor in the Son of Man. Because that influence is fleeting and just for the moment. But God is the one who keeps truth forever. Which brings us to the end of the passage. Look what it says. The Lord shall reign forever. I want you to stop there for a moment, okay? What it says the Lord, what's the next word? Hear me, all right? God isn't waiting for you and I to put him on the throne. Have you ever heard that concept? We need to make Jesus the Lord of our life. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the Lord of your life. Period. He's not waiting for your permission. He is Lord. Period. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He doesn't need our permission. He is reigning. He shall reign forever. What he says to us in verse 9, the previous verse, is that, was it verse 9, whatever it was, is that we're blessed if we recognize his lordship. Happy is the man that hath the God of Israel, or the God of Jacob, for his help, and whose hope is in the Lord. Once we recognize it, we're able to find joy and contentment and blessings. But he's there without our permission. He's already there. That's why, by the way, he can take the wicked man's life. He doesn't have to wait for the wicked man to give him permission. He's Lord. He is Lord. He's already reigning forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto, what's it say? All generations. Unto all generations. And so, as we get to the end, I'm going to put a little phrase in here to kind of lead us into it, all right? He says, listen, we need to adopt this concept. I'm going to praise God no matter what. As long as I have breath, I'm going to praise God. As long as I have being, I'm going to praise God. As long as I have life, I'm going to praise God. And I'm not going to put my trust in weaker things. And here's why. Because God is this, 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 this. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. And he's already reigning. Therefore, he says, I'm going to do this for all generations. Therefore, because all of this is true, here's what I'm going to conclude today, and this is what I want to lead you to. Therefore, because God is on the throne. Therefore, because God is all of these things. Therefore, because man is not worthy of our trust. Therefore, because I'm still breathing, I will praise the Lord. I'm asking you, are you praising the Lord today? I mean, think about this. Every time we whine, gripe, and complain, you know what we're not doing? Praising the Lord. That's right. We're not praising the Lord. But you don't know what I'm going through. I don't even care what you're going through. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That has nothing to do with this. No matter what we're going through, God is still worthy. That's the message of the psalm. Regardless of what we're going through, God is worthy. We will find blessing and happiness and contentment and all of those things that God has to offer when we recognize God is worthy and we choose to participate in his praise. So I'm asking you again, are you praising the Lord this morning? Sometimes I think we do this backwards. We should have done the message. And then we should stand up and sing all of those songs of praise. Wouldn't that be something? Would it change the way we sing? We need to come to church and go back out of church in the same condition, knowing who we are, knowing who he is, and willing to praise the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. He concludes it for us, right? Because of all of this. So he starts out, I'm going to praise the Lord. He ends up, I'm going to praise the Lord. And sandwiches in between how to make that happen. See God for who he is. See ourselves and everybody else for who they are. And recognize that God is on the throne. God is on the throne. By the way, for those of you who are going through hard times, can I remind you that the same God who's allowing you to go through the hard time is the same God who heals the blind, takes care of the oppressed, looses the prisoners, feeds the hungry, watches over the fatherless and the widows. God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. That's the same God, the loving, kind, gracious, compassionate God that we have. See, Pastor John, I have to be honest. I'm catching myself whining, griping, and complaining more than praising. Pastor, I'm just trying to be honest with you. I'm struggling to adopt that as long as I have breath, I will praise the Lord concept. Pastor, I want to see God for who he is. And I want to see God on that throne. And I want to choose to praise him as long as I have being, as long as I have life. Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and let me see that so I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that one. Thank you. Father, Lord, I know that life's just hard. Beats us up sometimes. God, I know that you love us. That you care for us in ways that we don't even understand. God, as we consider the circumstances of our lives, may we consider the one circumstance that has never changed. You are on the throne. Worthy of our praise. May you be lifted up in each and every life. We thank you for the, six or so that have raised their hand today. I pray that you would just give them boldness and courage to look beyond life's difficulties and see you in a greater way today. And Father, we will thank and praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. The altar's open to you. You step out. Let the Lord have his way as we sing together, if you would, please.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There are precious fountains, free to all the healing streams, flows from Calvary's mountain.
Seated for just a moment. We have another baptism this morning. Only one this morning, though. So, but if you'll give us a chance, Pastor Brett will come lead us in a song. We'll get ourselves ready to go.
All right, you can remain seated while we get that up. Trust and obey. If we can get that up, I think we have it. There it is. We'll wait till Miss Chrissy. There, perfect.
When we walk with the Lord in the light, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. Trust and over.
on that chorus.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Sorry? That's right. Profession of faith in Jesus Christ, you, the Father, and the Son, and death, raise them to walk in newness of life. How are you, Titus? Yeah. Hear this. How old are you, Titus?
Nine.
Okay. Oh, yeah.